See, God could have said, I am Yahweh, your creator. I own the cosmos. I have more power than a million nuclear bombs, so you'd better knuckle under and worship me. He could have said that, but it's not what he says.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, thankfully, that is not what God said. Yeah. What did he say?
Yeah, he does not appeal to his people on the basis of power, but on the basis of love. And the point is, he could come and simply say, look, I've got all the power, so you better submit. But what he says to his people is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So he points to his redeeming love, to his goodness, and to his kindness. And of course, that takes us right into the New Testament, because these are not two different stories. The one leads to the other. And you know where this is going, that the reason that God appeals to us in Jesus Christ to lay down our lives and to follow him, whatever the cost, is that that is precisely what he has done in unfathomable love for us in Jesus.
And Colin, when we understand that, realize that, and kind of revel in that, ultimately, that does lead to us loving him and worshiping him.
Yeah, that's right. And you see, I think there are an awful lot of people, and perhaps even as you're listening right now, you may say, this is me. I've heard lots of commandments. I've heard lots of calls to live this kind of life, and I ought to be this, and I should do that, and all the rest of it. But have you really felt the weight of the love of Jesus Christ? Have you really glimpsed the extent of his love for you as you see it in Jesus Christ hanging on the cross in order to redeem you, in order to save you? See, it's on the basis of that love that God comes with outstretched arms and appeals to us to come to him and to be his people and to enter into a life that is given for our good. That's the marvelous thing, yeah. Steve. There isn't a better life to live than this. The opposite of this life is a disaster in time, and it's worse in eternity. But here's the Redeemer who says, now come to me and follow me, and he appeals to us in love.
Well, we're going to continue to see what that looks like. If you can, open your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 3 as we continue the message, Your Struggle with God. Here's Pastor Colin.
The Creator himself, who has all power and is accountable to and subject to nobody, does not make his appeal to you on the basis of raw power like some dictator. But he comes to you and appeals as the gracious God who extends mercy towards you. Think about that. It's awesome. I am Yahweh, your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, he says to these folks. When you cried out, nobody else was listening, but I was. Nobody else saw a future for you, but I did. I came down to help you. And I didn't do it because there was some pressure on me coming from somewhere to do that. I did it because it pleased me. He's good. He's good. And you know, you will never be ready to embrace God fully until you've come to the conclusion that he's good. That's why knowing him through Jesus Christ, you see, is the very foundation of the commandments. It's the beginning of this struggle. It's where this whole life begins. We may submit to raw power, but we will never love raw power. That's why it's so significant that God brings us into a relationship of love. See, there is all the difference in the world. Think about this. There's all the difference in the world between a kidnapper and a lover. A kidnapper may say, you are mine, on the basis of power. But a lover says, you are mine, on the basis of affection. All the difference in the world. One writer, I think very provocatively, describes the Ten Commandments as pillow talk. Think about that. Pillow talk. Because we're light years away from the courtroom in which sterile power is exercised. We're in the intimacy of a love relationship. in which Yahweh, who has come down and reached out to make us his own, says, you're mine. And I want you to know me. And I want you to walk with me throughout the course of your life and to enter into all the goodness that I have planned for you. It's the talk of the lover who has won the affection of the loved and now embraces her and says, you are mine. Why should we make Yahweh our God? Because he's God and because he's good. And of course, we see that. We see that even more clearly in Jesus. Because in the New Testament, the I am took flesh and came down to rescue us. That's what the coming of Jesus Christ is all about. That's why he says, before Abraham was, I am. That's why he says, I am the bread of life. That's why he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to know God the Father except by me. You had no way out of a future of hell itself, except that I came down and I gave myself for you. Let me introduce myself to you, he says, and he holds out his hands and there are nail prints in them. Why would I follow Jesus? Because he's God. Because he's good. He's Yahweh with us. That's the motivation. And if we're really going to get into this climb, it's very important that we've got it absolutely clear as to why we're doing it. Because we're going to face some difficult struggles on this rock face. We need to know why we're climbing. Now moving on, if that's your motivation, that we pursue this God because he is God and because he is good, then let's see secondly that our calling is to a life of loving loyalty. This God introduces himself and now he says to us, you shall have no other gods before me. Your calling and mine is to give ourselves to a life of loving loyalty to the God who loved us and gave himself for us. And of course you will see then for that the first commandment is really a natural response of gratitude. It is gratitude to the grace of God in Jesus Christ that has come down and it's reached me. And therefore I respond and I say, how could I put anyone else or anything else in the place of you, O Lord? What does it mean in practice to keep the first commandment? Let me make three suggestions. First, it involves cultivating your affection for him. No other gods before me. That's going to mean thinking about him, remembering him, appreciating him, honoring him, choosing him, loving him, desiring him, fearing him. It's going to mean believing him. It's going to mean trusting him. It's going to mean hoping in him. It's going to mean delighting in him. It's going to mean being zealous for him. It's going to mean calling upon his name. It's going to mean giving thanks to him in all things. It means giving him more weight in your life than anything else. It means that if you face a decision in which every inclination of your heart is to say no, but honoring God means saying yes, that you say yes because honoring God counts more to you than every inclination of your heart. That's, of course, what thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians have done when they've gone to prison. And sometimes died for the sake of the name of Jesus. They're living the first commandment. Cultivate your affection for him. That's why we gather here in worship. Because as in any relationship of love, that needs to be renewed and replenished. And in the place of worship, my love for him is strengthened. Second, it means turning from all that offends him. Now, I found it helpful to identify some of the sins that break the first commandment because they displace God. You see, anything that puts someone or something else on the throne of my life, puts them in a controlling position, breaks the first commandment because God alone belongs there. You shall have no other gods before me. So So here would be some things that were sins that break the first commandment. Number one, pride. That puts me on the throne, doesn't it? Hero worship. Infatuations. Allowing other people to bind your conscience and manipulate you so that you no longer think for yourself. Consulting the devil, mediums, spiritists, or fortune tellers, superstition. It seems to look for another power to guide me in what's going to work out for me today. Impatience with God, which means I want something that he's not yet given more than I want himself. Complaining about his providence. Teaching or believing that all religions lead to God, which is a way of saying that all gods are the same and putting them all on the same level. Unbelief, distrust, or despair. You say despair? How can you despair if the Lord is your God? See, despair always arises when there's something else that I want and I've decided that I won't get it. And what that means is if I despair that I've put that thing that I wanted and I've decided I won't get in the place of God and therefore I despair because I'm not getting it. I have to tell you, the more I've thought about this, the more I've seen that this first commandment is absolutely liberating. Some of us desperately need to be released from infatuations. From relationships in which some other person is controlling and manipulating. This will deliver you from the overbearing parent, from the dominating friend, from the manipulative religious leader. This is the very basis of our rejection of tyranny. No other gods before me. This, therefore, is the very foundation of freedom. And our country wants to move away from it. See, the values and the blessings we enjoy come from somewhere, and they're rooted right here in the first commandment. And why would we embrace this God? Because he's God and because he's good, and every good that we enjoy comes from him.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled Your Struggle with God. It's part of our series called The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, and today, really looking at Exodus chapter 3 and the first 14 verses there. Hope you will stay with us. We're going to get back to the message in just a moment, but if you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website address is unlockingthebible.org. You can also listen on the go if you have the Unlocking the Bible app. We'll link you to it through the website, or you'll find it at your favorite app store. Just look for Unlocking the Bible. Or you can come to the website and sign up to begin podcasting the program. That way you won't miss a future broadcast. Again, our website address for all those links and a whole lot more, it's unlockingthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
You shall have no other gods before me. It's going to mean cultivating our affection for him. It's going to mean turning away from all that offends him. Thirdly, it's going to mean subjecting everything to him. You shall have no other gods before me. You say, well, what other gods? I mean, the stuff about the history of world religion is all very interesting, and we can see its application across the scene of the world today, but frankly, we're here because we're Christians. None of us are going to have a secret worship session for Baal or Marduk or any other god this week. Well, there are plenty of other gods. Plenty of other powers that can be placed on the throne of your life. Dr. Jim Packer makes some suggestions, and noticing that God is a trinity, a triunity of persons, he suggests some other trinities that vie to take his place. Here are three. Sex, shekels, and stomach. The unholy trinity, he says. Pleasure, possessions, position. Football, the firm, and the family. There's a few trinities there that vie for the place of God in our lives. Let me ask this question. What dominates your thoughts, your goals, and your conversation? What really is the first love of your life? What is the biggest affection of your heart? That is your God. Now, as you think through Packer's examples, sex, shekels, stomach, pleasure, possessions, position, football, the firm, and the family. Every one of these is a good gift from God. Every one of them. The problem for us arises when we take the gifts and we put the gifts in the place of the giver. That is idolatry. To boil this down, I was very moved earlier this summer when our high school ministry had a farewell for seniors. And we were treated in the course of a marvelous evening to a video in which we saw pictures of each of the seniors who were graduating from high school this summer, along with a note about their favorite memory and what they would like written as their epitaph. And as you can imagine, there were some very funny ones. There were some very good ones. There was one that I will never forget. It was written by one of our students now at college who achieved outstanding success as a senior in his high school football team. And this is what he suggested for his epitaph. Football was his game. It wasn't his life. I think that is brilliant from an 18-year-old. And it came from a lad who's trying to live the first commandment. And it's a struggle. He's climbing the wall. He's faced all kinds of pressures. And some of us as parents have had to make tough decisions, frankly, in this sphere, have we not? We've had to sit down with our kids and work out what really matters as a primary value in our life. And where is the place of God fitted into the agenda? Or is he to be on the throne of our lives? And sometimes that struggle is harder for the parents than for the kids. You shall have no other gods before me. So now we're going to come to the challenge in these last moments. Your challenge is to embrace him unconditionally. You shall have no other gods before me. Now this is where we come to a step of faith. A step of faith that God invites every one of us to take on the basis of trust. He's God. He's good. Are you ready to embrace him today unconditionally? That's the question. Rather like the marriage service, God invites us to commit ourselves to him for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, to cling only to him, not until death parts us, but until death brings us into his immediate presence. By the way, it is a wonderful foundation for marriage if you will make that kind of commitment to God. Now, I ask you to think about this. If you can't make that kind of unconditional commitment to God, how are you going to sustain an unconditional commitment to anyone else? You see, if we lose the capacity of unconditional commitment here, it will not exist anywhere else. Of course. People who want negotiated contracts with God want negotiated contracts with everyone else. This is a step of commitment based on trust. And that's what faith is. Trust of someone you've come to know to be God and to be good. Sometimes when my wife has come home with a surprise, some kind of gift or something, she said to me on occasion, "Close your eyes and hold out your hand." Now I ask you, close your eyes and hold out your hand. I mean, this makes me vulnerable. But I do it. If a stranger in Chicago came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, close your eyes and hold out your hand," do you think I'd do it? Not a chance. When Jesus said to the first disciples, "Follow me," not one of them knew where it was leading. And frankly, when Jesus says to you, "Follow me," you don't know either. You don't know what kind of scrapes you're going to get into, what kind of challenges and decisions you're going to have to face, what kind of sacrifices you're going to make. You commit yourself unconditionally to him. You might end up the other side of the world. You may end up with some tough scrapes. It may cost you your life. But God is calling you and me to a commitment that is based on trust. Because you know that he's God, and because you know that he's good. And that's faith. You shall have no other gods before me. Your challenge is to embrace God unconditionally. No ifs, no buts, no whens. Because if you put an if, a but, or a when in there, you have put the if, but, or when in the place of God. If you say, yes, if you give me my health, you've put your health in the place of God. If you say, yes, if you bless my family, you've put your family in the place of God. If you say, yes, when I've resolved this problem that I'm struggling on, you've put the problem in the place of God. So do you see why the first commandment is such a struggle? Boy, the more I've looked at it, the more deeply convinced I've become. This is a lifelong struggle, and it's much harder than I thought. You can look at a cliff face from a distance and say, you know, I could climb that. But boy, when you get up close to the first commandment, you realize it's much tougher than you ever thought. And so it won't be long when you get to this first commandment before you're saying, you know, we just started and I'm not for one. And I'm going to need a little bit of help. And it's right there that we reach out to Jesus. I need help, Jesus. Deliver me. Save me. That's a great way to come to him. Ask him to create a new and intense love for God within you. And then you'll be able to pray like this: the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to take it from your throne and worship only thee.
What a powerful message today as we think about God's good gifts and the temptation that we do face to allow these gifts to become idols in our lives. You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. The message is called Your Struggle with God, and it's part of our larger series, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can always come to our website and you can listen online. The website address is unlockingthebible.org. You can also listen through the Unlocking the Bible app. It's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's unlockingthebible.org. And whether you listen to the broadcast on the radio, online, or through the app, it's all made possible because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Colin's book that's based on this series called The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. But Colin, what would you say to the person who says, I know my struggles. What I need is help. What I need is hope. What kind of hope does this book offer?
Well, the hope is that the Ten Commandments are in the Bible. Let me explain what I mean by that. You know, if all we had was the book of Genesis and then the book of Exodus up to Exodus 20, where we have the Ten Commandments, and the last word that God spoke to us was, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, you shall not bear false witness. If that was God's last word to us, we would simply be left saying, well, exactly what you said, Steve. Well, that's my struggle, and where's the help in that? Yeah. God's just telling me what to do. But thank God that the Ten Commandments come in the Bible. And what is the message of the Bible? That God has sent his Son into the world so that as we come to him in faith and repentance, he will send his Holy Spirit into our hearts to enable us to live a new life. And what does that life look like? Well, it's a life that actually begins to fulfill the very law of God. The law of God tells us the direction in which God is calling us to move. The Holy Spirit of God gives us the power to move in that direction. So that's why this book is called The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. The 10 commandments identify the struggles. It's the power of the gospel that enables us to move forward in addressing them.
Well, we would love to send you a copy of this book from Pastor Colin as our way of saying thanks for your support. You can find out more or give online by coming to unlockingthebible.org or call us at 1-866-865-6253. That might be easier to remember as 1-866-UNLOCKED, or again, the website unlockingthebible.org. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Many people say that they find icons or beads or images of Jesus helpful. Find out why these things always obscure as much as they reveal on the next Unlocking the Bible.